you better know real estate really, really well. And I advise anybody out there, you're getting involved in real estate, get a good financial team behind you. They know real estate. They can talk about cost segregation and all of the benefits out there of owning real estate, all of the other tax benefits, and on and on and on.
If you're a real estate investor who's sick and tired of living deal to deal, then welcome home. Hear from everyday real estate investors just like you and discover how they've completely transformed their business by taking a profit-first approach. This is the Profit First for REI podcast, where we believe revenue is vanity, profit is sanity. It's time to start making profit a habit in your business. So here's your host, David Richter.
Today we have Joe Vieri on the podcast talking about cost segregation. This is literally a strategy. If you are ever going to buy and hold properties at any point, please listen to this episode. It will put money in your pocket. He talks about how you save the money and where you capture depreciation. Like all this stuff that sounds big and scary, he makes it very simple. And honestly, this is one of the best ways you can keep money in your pocket that the U.S. government still gives you an opportunity to have those opportunities to be able to put that money there and not be spending as much on taxes and things like that. So if you've ever wondered what the heck cost segregation is, this episode will answer it for you. Thank you very much. Hey, welcome to the Profit First REI podcast. I have a special guest and a good friend of mine, Joe Vieri, on today, which I'm really excited about this because if you are a real estate investor, you need to listen to what Joe is going to tell you today. He runs a very special company that helps people keep a lot more of their money in their pocket. So, and I'm all about that here with the Profit First methodology and what we want to do. So, Joe, thanks for being on the podcast today.
Well, David, it's good to see you and thanks for asking me.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we made this happen because I want to get what you do out there to people. So why don't we first say, what kind of business is it? What are you doing now? Like, what is that? Just so if people don't know you, don't know who you are, we can at least give them the foundation and groundwork for what we'll be talking about.
Great. The name of the company is U.S. Tax Advisors Group Incorporated. We use the slang Ustagi. You might hear a lot of us say Ustagi to make it easier. And basically, we're an engineering-based cost segregation firm. And what cost segregation, as you know, is we accelerate the depreciation expense for those who own investment real estate. So the explanation, the elevator speech is really easy, but it's engineering based. And so it's complex because we have to determine the depreciable lives of all of the assets of the building in order to put them in the right categories so that the depreciation expense can be accelerated.
That's so basically you work. So you work mainly with people that own assets then, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we work with the owners. Now, the ownership can be in many different forms. You know, there's a lot of syndicates out there that use us for cost segregation. It can be a sole proprietorship. It can be an LLC. That's never important. But what we do, what is important, is the benefits we find go to whoever owns the investment. And it could be 100 people, which has to be sliced and diced according to the accountant or the CFO and to who owns what part of the building. But basically, that is up to the client. We give them the bucket load of depreciation and apply to whoever owns the building.
Okay, so let's say it's a mom and pop shop that just have a couple rentals. Do you recommend that they get cost segregation even if they only own a couple buildings or a couple houses?
Well, you know, I started in 2009, and back in the day in 2009, we all did one type of study, which is called the detailed engineering study. And the detailed engineering study, we use the guidelines presented in the audit technique guidelines, ATG, for cost segregation. Everybody can Google it and they can read the audit technique guidelines by the IRS. That gives us our body. And that requires that we go out to the building and we do the inspection of the building. However, about 7 years ago, we started to develop I don't like the word desktop, but let's say a different type of analysis, which doesn't require us to go out to the building. So therefore, we can do buildings with a basis of $750,000 or less. And of course, the building basis is whatever you purchase the building for, less the land. That's what we have to work with. And basically, we can do that for, I just did it, somebody you know, from one of our meetings. I did a building with a basis of $50,000 and it still worked. It made sense because the fee that we charge is so low that even the people that you mentioned, like a couple who has only two single family homes, can still get accelerated depreciation. And we defend our work to the IRS, so I just don't need to beat this drum, but it's legitimate and it's acceptable by the IRS.
So then, can you work with anyone in the U.S. then, like in any of the states, or is this specific to a certain area?
We work with again, it's a income tax strategy. So they have to pay income taxes. So we don't care where they live as long as it's an entity paying U.S. taxes. We don't care where the buildings are. I've even done buildings in Europe for U.S. based companies that owned industrial buildings in Europe. So it made sense. And I would fly to Europe and I would do the inspection of the European buildings. So basically, there are very few circumstances where COSEG doesn't work. As long as you're a U.S.-based paying taxes entity, whether it's a married couple or whether it's a corporation, you can use accelerated depreciation. When I first started, a lot of people said, this must be a scam. You know, I don't believe you can do this, and it's not. Or if they don't, then you definitely are not like your organization. You should run from those entities, CFOs or accountants, if they don't know what COSEG is now in today's day and age, because it's the accepted way to depreciate a building. End of story.
So then what are the benefits of getting that cost segregation if someone hasn't gone down that road?
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to accelerate their depreciation. So depreciation is an expense. And when you have gross taxable income, how do you reduce your taxes? You want expenses. So if I have somebody who has a gross income of $100,000 and I give them a $50,000 extra expense, I've just reduced their taxable income down to $50,000. Woohoo! That's huge. That's big. So basically, it's an expense against income. And all we're doing is we're redefining the components of the building according to the IRS rules that puts these components into shorter lives. So for example, the outside of the building is land improvements, driveways, landscaping, patios, pools, fencing will go in 15 year. The inside of the building, items like flooring, like window coverings, specialty lighting, apply a five-year property from the inside, the chassis of the building, which is real property, that's going to stay in 27 and a half year. So all we're really doing is peeling out for a single family home about 25 to 30% of the building, and we're putting it into a shorter life asset, which then translates into savings on income taxes. So one of the caveats is we only need to talk to someone who pays income tax. Real estate is really powerful, gets you a lot of deductions. Some real estate owners don't pay income taxes. You don't need to call me until you do.
Okay. So that's where the big line in the sand is. If people are paying taxes, you can help them reduce that tax burden. That's really what you're trying to do, is help them keep more money in their pocket at the end of the day.
Right. And I would love it if they bought more real estate or improved their real estate. But you can do whatever you want with the extra money in your pocket. And it's huge. You know, as long as you're taxable. Now, you mentioned one thing about the couple. There is one situation where it may not be worth it, and that it would be a passive investor. So if you are a passive investor, we have a lot of passive. Go to other people like you and your team to help us for cost segregation. The reason being is because if you're a passive investor, there's limitations to how much depreciation expense that you're allowed to take per year. We don't get involved in that. What I will do is a no-cost estimate. You take the client takes the estimate to their professionals and say, hey, look, Joe's going to give me $100,000 in losses. Do I need them? Even if you're a passive investor, many times the answer is yes, but sometimes the answer is no. It really won't benefit you.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So then, as a real estate investor, it sounds like most people should get a cost segregation study on their buildings. You had also mentioned potentially upgrading the building, like with that money. Like, is there ever a time when you would redo a cost segregation on the same building, like if you upgrade it substantially or something like that?
Well, that's a great question, David. Yes. So we do a couple different types of studies soon after the party. Is it mandatory? No, because we can do look back studies. I can do a study that somebody bought 15 years ago and still make the numbers work. But bottom line is, what we would like to do is we like to see the building before any improvements are done. Because one caveat, and this is really important, and I beat the drum, I want to spread the word, because a lot of accountants do not know the world of dispositions. So when you do improvements, and let's just say a single family home, what do? I know what they do. You rip out the flooring, you rip out the cabinets, you rip out the countertops, put in maybe new windows, new doors, new HVAC. Everything you throw in the trash has remaining basis. How do you know what the remaining basis is unless you do a cost segregation study? The answer is you don't. We break it off. And that's a write-off that you don't need me back and do it for you because it's in our report. You've already depreciated for 2 years, so you got to take that out of the equation. But the rest, the 25 and a half year remaining basis of that carpet is a write-off. The IRS doesn't want you to have two carpets on the books. They only want one, so you have to write it off. Now, it's an IRS regulation, but honestly, no one's going to go to jail or be fined if you don't write off. But you know, David, write-offs are gold. So bottom line is, yeah, that's one reason why you do cost seg. And then you do those improvements, and then we can come back and do another cost seg on the improvements.
So then let me ask this. I really like this stuff a lot. So then if you're doing cost segregation for people that are more landlords, would you recommend this for flippers then? Someone who's looking to sell it?
Or would it just be for
buy and hold?
That's one of the four. Okay. Number one is like passive investors. You got to really look at that. That may be a reason you don't do it. The number two would be a flipper. The reason is because you have a concept called depreciation recapture. So the IRS will go back and tax you 25% on the depreciation you took. However, so here's the bottom line. Because I talk all over the country and I have panels with CFOs and brilliant guys who are in the real estate world, they tell me that the hold is about a year and a half to 2 years. Taking this all in consideration, what I'm saying is that I feel the average hold time is not 5 years, but a year and a half to 2 years. If you're a flipper, you are going to have to pay depreciation recapture. And so therefore, it's not, I will tell a flipper, don't do it. Now, I've had some flippers who say my internal rate of return is so high that even if I get that dollar for 1 year tax-free from the IRS, I'm going to take it. But most of the time, they all kind of agree, maybe a year and a half to 2 years. However, there is a caveat that I'm going to explain now, which is really powerful, David, and a lot of people don't know about, is that cost segregation reduces depreciation recapture. So if somebody pulls that card out of the hat and goes, well, I'm not going to do cost seg because I'm just going to have to pay it back when I sell the building. And keep in mind, depreciation recapture is only for the selling of the building for cash. If you exchange a building or cost seg reduces depreciation recapture, I use the example of a laptop. You bought a laptop 5 years today. What's that laptop worth, David? $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
What, $50? $100?
Yeah,
I don't
maybe.
Know.
But right. Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe nothing. For example, let's look at the rental. What's your carpet worth 5 years later? I don't know, maybe you could sell it to a junk man for $50, but most likely you're going to have to pay to rip it out and throw it in the trash. That's not the point. The point is, though, that now you've got a five-year asset that the only way you know it's 5 years is if you did cost segregation. So you have the five-year, that five-year asset less whatever residual value. I tell you that you should calculate some residual value, and I'm not the person to do that. But you give a residual value. So basically, you now can take the $5,000 off the table for depreciation recapture because that asset no longer exists. It had a five-year life. So what have I just explained? Cost segregation reduces depreciation recapture. So it's that objection goes off the table.
What are the other big objections that you might get?
Again, you don't pay income taxes. That's one. Sometimes if there's a lot of individuals like a syndicate and there's so many that it dilutes what we find, most of the time we do it for the primary investors. And if they, you know, have other investors, they don't care. They just say, we'll pay for the cost seg, you know, and go on. But that might be another reason. So I'm going to tell you, don't do cost seg. I mean, there's no, but most people exchange up. Same example. They sold the building for $500,000. They bought a new one for $1 million. Now I have $500,000 to work with, and I can cost seg and accelerate that $500,000. So if you do a straight exchange or a pretty much straight exchange without much there, much meat on the bone, then I'll tell that client, don't do cost seg. But that's it. I just named the four reasons why you don't want to do cost seg. And other than that, I mean, I've heard all the objections out there, David. And there's really none that are that I give any thought to, except for the four that I just mentioned.
Yeah, and it seems very cost effective too, getting the cost segregation going through you guys, because I've heard other people that are charging a lot of money, and sometimes it's like, is it worth it? So it seems like when they go through you, you make it worth it for them to be able to go through that process and do the depreciation recapture.
Yep. And like I said, we will give you a no-cost analysis. And so it's really easy. You just fill out. Yeah. We have a link we can send you. You fill out. Give us some basic property information. We'll give you the estimate of savings, and we'll tell you what the fee is. On the modeling or analytical studies, you know, the fee is really affordable. I know a lot of people think that they I had a CPA last week who goes, wait a minute, the cost segs cost $4,000 or $5,000. I go, yes, we do those all day long, but it doesn't make sense if your building is a single family home. You can't pay $2,000 and make it worth. But if you pay $675, now you can make it worth that. Now it's worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. So, now, what is that like?
I think the best thing is we need to give you your link.
Yeah. If you've got a link for us, even better.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay. And another way is they could go to ustagi.com and click on the, you know, get a free quote.
Okay, cool. So that's how they could get it there. And then what are you saying before I cut you off about the leak? Was it, you know, there was something else about, I don't know, what they would pay or whatever it might be?
No, I think I finished okay, that cool. thought process. Oh, no, I know awesome. What I was going to say. Now, this is for smaller buildings. So obviously, if we get into buildings that are bigger, like over 750,000 in building basis, then what we do is our fees are based on engineering time. So we look at each building separately. So we need to look at the building. So we have you fill out the same link, give us the information. We look at the building and we will give you a fee. That fee is not going to be in the hundreds of dollars. That fee is going to be in the thousands of dollars, but you're going to get that much more in accelerated depreciation. So it's a wash.
Yeah, for sure. Oh man, this is good stuff. I wish everyone would go to your site and like, just see, like, especially if they own property and if they've owned it. I like how you gave the time frame too, owning it for like the year and a half to 2 years. It's like you gave good parameters there. You gave good parameters of who should do this, who shouldn't do this. It's been a lot of good information. Is there anything we haven't covered about cost segregation that you'd like to share here?
You know what? I've covered the major objections. There are a lot. Like some people say, oh, this can only be done on new properties. No, I just explained we can go back 15 years. don't care the age of the property. Every time somebody closes on a property, the depreciation clock starts over. So if George Washington slept in the building and somebody bought that building this year, guess what? It's a completely new depreciation clock. We do not care about the age of the building. And again, we'll go in and we'll look at the building, and there may not be a lot on the building, like a really super old building. Probably there's a lot of improvements to it. It can be a farm, a ranch with no building, just fencing and windmills and water mills and items like that. So we look at each building, and what we give everyone is we give them the estimate and let them make up their mind. We always recommend go back to the professional. Go back to David and say, David, does this make sense? And you'll tell him. I'll tell him. You know, if you ask me, I'll say, I don't think so, David. If I were them, I wouldn't do it. But we don't ever tell people what to do. We just give them enough information so that they can make an educated decision.
Awesome. I like that a lot. And you said it was ustagi.com.
That's it.
Awesome. Well, I love that stuff. Is there anything else? Like, I don't know, just any other advice that you give people as business owners or real estate investors?
Okay. I get this question a lot. And what I tell them, and this falls right into your wheelhouse, is what I tell them is if you're going to play in the real estate game, you better know real estate really, really well. And I advise anybody out there, you're getting involved in real estate, get a good financial team behind you. They know real estate. They can talk about cost segregation and all of the benefits out there of owning real estate, all of the other tax benefits and on and on and on. So that's why I would say, that's my number one suggestion to everybody is get a team behind you, because I don't care what the fee is, your service, it'll be paid for 10, 15, 20, 30 times over. Yeah, you're going to have to pay for whatever it is, but it's going to be well worth it, and it's going to save you a lot of pain.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate that you also, we're in this world together, and we're just helping people keep more money in their pocket, and really, at the end of the day, helping that other person. So if you're listening to this as a listener, go to ustagi.com and get on their calendar, like especially if you own properties, it's like a no-brainer to have the conversation. They're very consultative with you as well, too. They're not going to push you into a decision. It's like, does this make sense? Is it one of those four areas that might not make sense? It's like, they're just trying to see, does this make sense for you that you'll save that money and be able to put the money in your pocket, too? So that I love that. And if you are out there and you're like, help me, I have no idea what's going on with my finances, I don't know if I should give Joe a call or whatever, speak with our team. We can point you in Joe's direction too at simplecfo.com, and we can go there and you can book a call with us, and we'll help you get connected with Joe as well too. We'd love to make sure you're keeping more of what you're making. And this is a big thing that we suggest to people in our sphere of influence as well too. So Joe, this has been awesome. Thank you for giving the breakdown, making it very simple and digestible. I think that was the most digestible I've heard on cost segregation. So this was really good stuff. Thank you for being an awesome guest here on the podcast today.
Well, thank you, David.
This episode of the Profit First for REI podcast is over, but there are plenty more where that came from. Are you ready to learn how David and his team can help implement the Profit First system in your business? Schedule a discovery call at simplecfo.com right now. We'll see you next time on the Profit First for REI podcast with David Richter.